2005 college training in Montreal, Canada, with Brother Titus Chu. David, the man after God's heart. Message 7.
Well, this morning we covered this outline, message 5, the needed persecution or the needed fleeing time. In other words, he was retreating, fleeing, escaping, because all the environment would go against him. For him to learn how to really only trust in the Lord. So before that, he must enjoy the manifestation. In other words, as a young brother, the more as a new brother, the more you can be manifested, the more you should appreciate it. Don't be bothered. Is this my soul life? Is this myself? Is this my natural man? Brother, don't be bothered. Whatever that is, get yourself manifested. Amen. Then let the Lord work on you. Amen. So when you are manifest, you know that, Lord, I'm manifested. But I'm not focused on all this manifestation. I focus only on you, Amen. My Lord. So the Lord must be your center. The Lord must be your reality of your living, of your serving, and of your daily labor. When you have the Lord has reality like this, so eventually you see these five things come in, right? Number one, people really appreciate you and don't enjoy that so much because when they appreciate you, they're killing you. Secondly, he was playing a harp to cast out soul spirit. So eventually he can cast out demons. You know, brother, don't appreciate that so much because the one you help is the one trying to kill you. Then you become a captain of 1,000 and behave wisely and you are a real leader and don't be too happy. None of the 1,000 followed him. Then he married, how to pronounce that word? Michal. Married Michal, the daughter of Saul. That part is good. So brother, don't date lightly. Don't marry easily. Marry the one that eventually will save your life. Right? You know, eventually, Michal was a unfortunate lady. She grew up in the palace. Then after David went away, Saul forced her to marry somebody else. So he married somebody else. But because he saved David's life, so David took her back. Then she fell by mocking at David's dancing before the Lord. So eventually she became barren. However, you know, that very thing she helped David, that really ought to be appreciated. Eventually she is really well known. Brother, appreciate this. Don't just say, I'm a good brother, I'm a normal functioning member in the body, I don't care, I'll make the meetings, I'll say something. No, fight for extra. I want to be manifested. I want to have a little extra. I want to give more blessing to the Lord, more blessing to the church meetings, more blessing to the church life, more blessing to the saints. This is very precious. Because of this kind of manifestation, brother, now he was brought into a deeper life. The first thing the Lord bring you with a deeper life is take away all the things you think you can rely on. Brother, something you rely on for years after years, one day the Lord will come and tell you, no, rely only on me. Lord's going to take away whatever. So the first one he relied on, of course, is Saul. So Saul says, I can perform miracles. If you want me to become a miracle performer, stay in the city every day, whenever Saul sends somebody over, I'll get them to prophesy. That's a funny story, right? Samuel. No, Samuel says, whenever Saul sends somebody over, I, Samuel, will get them to prophesy. And then they all will be subdued and go back. You think how funny that will become. Eventually, David hired on Samuel, and Samuel prophesying all the time. Eventually, Samuel died, and David can't do it, then David's head will be chopped off. So it doesn't work. So he realized it doesn't work. So how about I go to my old friends? Maybe they can help me. Brother, no. Jonathan loved him, but cannot help him. Then he says, how about I would run away by Lord's mercy? I pass through the city of praise, that is Nob. I come to that city, maybe in that city I can get something. But eventually they can graciously give him bread, yet cannot be his shelter. Actually, they are afraid. And just because his visit, eventually the whole city was slaughtered by Saul. So he wasn't a blessing there. And of course, he didn't get condemned. Look at your conscience. One brother do not make a meeting. Make one meeting because of you said certain thing. You'll be bothered for 3 years. David knows how to be before the Lord. He really messed them up. Do you get my point there? It's a peaceful city. All praise living there. Godly. Do you get my point? And they were serving before Jehovah. Just because David went, the whole city gets slaughtered. And David will say, I follow the Lord. I wouldn't take this upon my shoulder, cause me to be bothered in my conscience. Then, finally, I take refuge with what? How this pronounces? Achish. That is, how is this? Now, only a man. In other words, you go there, it's funny. If you go to the Gentile, first thing is, he'll tell you, I'm just a man. You want to get a job, I'll give you a job, but I'm just a man. Eventually, I will be bankruptcy too. You understand what I'm talking about? Then, how is this? In other words, when you really get to Gentile, your experience is, how is this? How come it is like this? I tell you the story. I think it's okay. Brother Wen, he wouldn't condemn me. He's coming tomorrow, I heard. Brother Wen, you know who is the one of the leading brother in Ottawa? Brother Wen, he get a real good wife. Oh, praise the Lord for that. You sister should learn from that wife. He married a real good sister. Sister's wise. Sister's before the Lord. Lord cover me. Of course, everyone must have a lot of shortcomings. But she really helped him to love the Lord, help him to grow. You know, he couldn't find a job for a year and a half. I look at him. Many times I want to say, I never said it. I want to say, I said, Brother Wen, why are you still looking for a job? Isn't that clear to you? You shouldn't work because you can't find a job. But you know, for any man says, I will find a job, then quit my job to serve the Lord. I can never serve the Lord by not finding a job. It's too disgraceful. Actually, in the sight of God, what's the difference? To serve the Lord, to serve the Lord, is the Lord lead you. It has nothing to do with you quit a job, you find a job. There's no difference. But I never said it, and then he found a job. He found a job maybe a couple of weeks, a month ago, in Toronto, where he came to the Chinese-speaking training. We study Psalms. Then he got the interview, he got the offer, either a couple days or same day, whatever, just quickly got a job. He was very happy. Then he began to work. And right after he worked, he found out, huh? The department hired him has nothing to do. The department beside him is just finished a project and laying off people. Do you realize this company are mental cases? Why don't you just transfer him to this department? Then it's okay. They like to lay you off because every new one is cheaper. You understand what I'm talking about or not? You know the lawyer? When the law firm, my son, daughter, two, both are in the very big law firms, they offer you excellent salary. And then they keep on hiring new ones to force old ones to go away because they're cheaper. And there's, oh, I tell you, even if you go there, you'll say, how is this? How is this? This is what? How do you say that word? Achish. This is Achish. For sure, this is Achish. Yeah. Brother, there must be a bunch of mental case. I always admire those who get a job. How can you suffer it? You know what I mean? Number one, they're just men. When you say, oh, I got a job. And my son got a job. That was interesting. He got a good job, very good offer, in Las Vegas. So he says, Dad, I got a job. I said, oh, yeah, very good. Congratulations. He said, I said, where is it? Las Vegas. I was silent. He knows I don't like it. He knows I don't like it. So he wouldn't say a word. So when we were together, he tried to test me. He's very bright. He said, no, that company's located right in us. How do you call that? Casino, right? The gambling. Right in the casino. I said, oh, I said, that must be a very interesting company. I don't know whether he's speaking the truth or he's joking. Actually, he was testing how I respond. Then he realized my whole attitude was very cold about it. I don't like it. There's nothing wrong with working in Las Vegas. But remember, you are only a man. Do you get my point or not? I'm afraid all the salary you got in the payday will disappear in somebody else's pocket. So get another job. He said, I got a job. He actually called me in the morning. He said, Dad, I got an interview in Los Angeles. I was a very good go because your mom's there. You can take care of your mom. So he went. And he called me in the evening. I got an offer. I said, oh, congratulations. Again, there's only one thing. He said, what? The company may bankrupt in half a year. Oh, that is interesting. You say, how is this? And you look at all those who hire you. You are only a man. How about those who serve the Lord? Everything's clear. We have God.
Amen.
Isn't that different? So eventually, he escaped to a cage. Whatever that is. Well, every time I even say it, I begin to cough. Because the world make you cough. I asked my son, I say, why you take this job? He said, well, look, I look at these men. They're decent. I appreciate that. Is they're decent. These kind of men, I look at them, they're not supposed to fail. They know what they are doing. Of course, he looked at the world situation too easy. Not you are supposed to make it, you can make it. Many make it just because they're not supposed to make it. Do you realize what I say? Most made it. Even they don't know how they made it. Those who are very clear never made it because they're very clear. So eventually, nothing works. So he was with, he's only a man. How is this? He realized, they're going to chop my head off. I better pretending, disguise that I were mad. I couldn't believe it. Think about that young captain with 1,000 people under him. Wherever he goes, the girls, ding-ding-dang-dang-dang, David killed 20,000, quack-quack, quack-quack, 10,000, quack-quack, 10,000. Think about it. Now he was, the slave come out, and right? And then people look at him, he's a madman. So eventually the king got upset. Why you bring this man to me? Get rid of him. He said, oh, thank you, thank you. Thank you for sending me away. So he escaped. I escaped to where, huh? Do you understand why he got through this? Remember the four things. The one, become your source, you can trust. The one who is your comrade, peer, you can trust. Or companion, you can trust. Am I right? The one who was very before the Lord, they can supply you, but you can trust. And the world, supposed to be able to give you a job or salary, you can trust. God is providing all these to tell him, your only trust is God and God himself alone.
Amen.
Isn't that clear? So now he went finding rest in the cave of Adullam. Adullam means retreat, refuge, or a resting place. So David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. Here, I would say three things happened. Number one, his father's house come to him. So when he ran away, his father's house was left there. Now they all come to join him. So to be with your father's house when you were at the 20s, that is a real comfort when you are that young. So he's very comforted. So all the his brethren, all his father's house, they all come down. And secondly, a lot of guys come to him. Everyone come has a good record. Everyone. So those who were graduates from Harvard University with doctorate degree, from University of Chicago with economic degree, those who are coming from university what with what degree, those who are from what cemetery and seminary, and those from around. No, not one hopeful came to him. That shows that when he was a captain of 1,000, none of the 1,000 followed him. And all these women on the street, not one stayed with him. Do you get my point? Those David killed, 10,000, not one followed him. Who came to him? Number one, you are so distressed. Number two, you can't pay your bill. Number three, you are unhappy with your life. All these three kinds. Do you get my point? Distressed is psychological. In debt is physical. Discontent is in existence. Psychologically, someone has problem, so come to me. No, financially, physically have problems, come to me. What, you have a problem with your life? Come to me. You know, and he didn't recruit any. They just all come to him. Everyone come to him, you look at him, oh, what a hopeless case. But I have to give some bread. You understand what I mean? Because once they come to him, he's responsible for their life, for their living. So I have to provide them bread. But therefore, the Bible says, let me read to you, and everyone that was distressed, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone was in was discontented, gathered some unto him, and David cried to God, what a mess this is. Please take me. I'd rather not be on this earth. What do you mean, no? How can you say no? I'm Titus. Whatever I said, you should say yes. Yes or no? Well, you brothers, I don't know what to do with you, because you are either in distress or in debt or discontented. So that's why you say no to me. You know, if I were David, I'll say, gentlemen, please, this is not a refuge. You know what I mean? This is not a mental case center. This is not a halfway house. You get me? Well, didn't they treat you like that? When I have a problem, I think the word goes around Israel, right? Well, anyone who has a problem, go. Even those who have a little clear mind will say, no, we better not go. Because he himself is hopeless. That halfway house is going to be shut down pretty soon. So no need to go. Only those who are so distressed, so desperate, and no place to go, end up in his place. And David really has something. He looked at them. He looked at everyone. He realized one thing. Everyone at least is one talent. Maybe when I live with him for a while, I found out he's two talented. Maybe if I work with him a little bit, he will become five talented. Do you get my point or not? So eventually, the Bible says, he become a captain of these 400 men. Who is his assistant trainer? I believe his brothers. You know the seven brothers? They all come to him. Now they all become his good assistant. Help to train these 400 men. And you know that? All of these 400 mighty men come out. Sometimes some brother says, oh, you know the Lord's recovery. Oh, the Lord's recovery today is so hopeless. I agree. Just look at you. How can there be hope? Right? I agree. And I said, oh, the Lord's recovery today is so old, dying. I agree too. Just look at the way brothers fighting one another. Where is hope? But I always have a feeling, how come David made it? You can't. You understand what I'm talking about? I tell you, there's nothing wrong with sense. I know you. I know you, brother, are peculiar. You like to walk out in the meeting, which against me, right? And someone, I like that though. I really like. Either a brother or sister all of a sudden come sit in the front, right over here. It says, from that corner. So brother or sister? You. Oh, I really like that. No, I wish more can just come sit all over here. Brother, because we are discontent, we're in distress, we have problems. That's why we don't have the seat square. Seat square are for those PhD student candidate, and we are not. But, brother, it's not how you sit. It's not how you appear. Is a leader clear what he's after?
Amen.
If David is very clear, God has anointed me. Yes, I lost everything. Even though I lost everything, I am still anointed with the horn by Samuel and to God.
Amen.
Therefore, I know everyone God give to me, there is a commitment with them also.
Amen.
How good that is. Sister, you understand what I say? Do you know how to sit in the front? Do you know how to sit in the front? You know, okay, thank you. You don't have to do it. Because then it's performance. It should be automatic, right? Right in the middle, one brother go out, walk out. But please close door light. Don't slam the door. We bother the meeting. And if you realize you have a habit of getting up to go out, the best is sit in the back row so nobody see it. Then you want to come to the front, come quietly. Don't go out there. Don't do that. Just get up, sit. Oh, that day, sister, right? You, right? I remember a brother or sister come to the front. Oh, I tell you, I couldn't tell you how sweet I feel. I feel this should be the meeting. We're young people. And we are the followers of David, our king. So, not me, of David, our king. So, who are we? Brother, I take the lead to declare. Who are we? Yeah. I'm in distress. I am in debt. I'm discontented. Amen. That's why I'm here to follow David.
Amen.
I try to find a shelter because nobody is saved with intention to bless God. Everybody is saved under two conditions. Well, number one, they heard a lot of lies. Number two, they're extremely selfish. No exception. Everyone got saved was lied into it. You understand what I say? The preacher was here. Brother, you have friends? Are you sinful? If you believe in Jesus, you will cancel the power of sin. You are dissatisfied? Jesus satisfy you. You are not happy? The Lord will give you happiness. You are not sad, you are not full, the Lord is your fullness. You should ask him, brother, do you, speaker, do you still commit sin? He'll say, oh, that's another story. You know, brother, I don't say they lie about truth. They lie about experience. But we're convinced that's right. That's right. That's right. Even to the neck get in trouble because they swing their head too much. That's right. Then we got saved. God saved selfishly. You are going to go to hell. You are going to be burned for eternity. Now once you got saved, you will go to the heavenlies. Where's heaven? There's no such a thing. Yet we lie so well and everybody believes it. Even spirit is with it. We don't know how that happened, but it's for sure. You know what, brother? It's interesting. Because everyone is regenerated so unhealthily. Not everyone, sorry. 99% of those regenerated are regenerated so unhealthy. Therefore, there's a big struggle for them to be with something healthy. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You are saved with the wrong understanding. When I got saved, as I told you, many of you may heard that story. I got saved. I was very happy. So the brother gave me a sheet with all the question and answers, right? Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Is Jesus God? Yes. Do you believe in the Bible? Yes. Is the Bible the Word of God? Yes. Do you know you are saved? Yes. Actually, I have no idea. I only know everything. Answer yes is right. Then there's a question. There's a question. Really, you also should say yes. Huh? Are your sins forgiven? Yes. Will you sin again? Really, everything should be yes, you know. So I thought, I got saved. The preacher said, no more sin. So, no. Brother, we are funny people. We are funny people. So the Lord, take Lord a lot to do things. Number one, to raise you up so that you don't disguise yourself. Oh, take Lord a lot of work. Take Lord a lot of things for you to realize you don't have to despise yourself. Is that disguise the right word? What does disguise mean? Huh? Oh, then you don't have to. Despise should be. You don't have to be irrespect. Despise yourself. None of us, I tell you, with America's culture, either you become a nuts, telling everybody you're everything, and within you know you're nothing. Or you are more nuts. Outside, inside, both are nothing. Basically, men are nothing. This kind of culture, today's culture, forces you to get yourself intoxicated. Otherwise, you do not even know how to put yourself in the right place. This is why the drugs, the dopes, the parties, the dancing, the drinking, all these things that totally release man's emotion, man's flesh, prevailing. Because that's where they find refuge. Amen. When they do this, they're okay. I don't know if I told you the story. I was in a country. The brother was very nice. Put me into a hotel. Huge. The hotel's name is Huli Hutu. You speak English, you don't know what it means, huh? Huli Hutu means nothing's clear. The hotel's name is messed up, nothing clear. It's not so, it's just pronounced like that. You know, it's Indonesian language, so pronounced like Huli Hutu. So I said, where I stay? This time the hotel used to say, it's occupied, it's full, there's no room for you, so we put you in the Huli Hutu. So I got there. I got a nice room, about 8th floor or something. Right beneath me was that disco place. Is that disco? Yeah. With a lot of musics. Yeah. Oh, I tell you. Saturday night, 2 o'clock, still there. 3 o'clock, still there. 4 o'clock, still there. I can't sleep. I'm right in the midst. Boom, 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 boom. So I dress up. I went down. I said, get me the manager. The guy was very polite. They're very polite. Sir, what can we do for you? I said, get me the manager. He said, manager's not here now. Can I help you? I said, you take me to where that noise is. Because I'm going to rebuke everybody afterwards. When I got there, it's empty. Actually, it's just about done. It's about 5 o'clock. They all go back. I walk in a little. I just walk in about 10 feet. My heart goes, whoa, whoa. I said, better get out. Later, the brother told me, he says, no. The brother said, you never walk in like that. You must first have to take the tablets, shake your head. Do you know what that kind of tablets? You know there's a kind of tablets, Chinese called head shaking tablets? Yeah. You first have to take a certain kind of tablets. Then you are no longer that clear. Your mind cannot be clear to be in that disco. So your mind is not clear. Then you walk in, you hit somebody, somebody hits you, and you don't know what's going on all night, and then you go home and sleep. So I didn't rebuke anybody. I got very discouraged because I like to rebuke at least somebody, right? Because I can't sleep. So eventually I let the hotel know. I said, well, listen, you never give a customer these kind of rooms when you have a party like this. You should never do it. So they moved me to a very nice suite as a courtesy that even I can go to their you know, the honorable guest lunch to have breakfast. You know, brother, I look at all these. I think about Adeline. You know, man were saved improperly. You are saved by a not clear gospel. And you are saved selfishly. You saved because you feel you need salvation, not to go to the hell. Do you realize God's intention is that for you to be one with God's economy?
Amen.
God says you must be after my heart. You must be for me. You must stand one with me. You must fight for my kingdom. Your life, your existence must be one with me.
Amen.
This is why that eventually all the so-called normal do not come to David. It's those who are unhappy, those who are distressed, those who are in debt, those who are what? The first said, in distress, or who are discontent, they all gather to David. But brother, one thing I want to tell you, something so marvelous happened. Number one, he trained them. So from 400, this is a base for his real work. The real kingdom start with is 400. These 400 people become the source for him to raise up the kingdom of Judah and eventually the kingdom of Israel.
Amen.
Right? Just from this group of people. None of the formal shouters, followers, lawyer declares, not one. All those 400. But I really appreciate David. Brother, you should look after the serving one. And tell them, brother, please be David. Don't tell me I'm no good. Brother, I'm no good. I'm what? I'm a person in distress. I'm a person in debt. I'm a person discontented. But please train me so that I can become a mighty man for God's army.
Amen.
Eventually, could you believe? I like this portion. Why? Could you believe, young brother, could you believe? Eventually, David's kingdom began with this group of people. Can you believe in that? I don't like it, because think about it. If the Bible said differently, all those from Tarsus, the educational center, maybe at that time it's not yet, but all those from present, today's Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Cornell, Columbia, they all go to him. I can see he make it because, look, all the great guys come. No. All those people like the hopeless people in Midwest come.
Amen.
You know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about, young sister? Where are you from? Yeah, Toronto. See, you don't understand Midwest. U.S. is a funny country. New York people know nothing but money. Los Angeles people know nothing but enjoyment. Texas people know nothing but boast themselves. So the whole country is over. The whole country live on Midwest. Yet everybody despises Midwest. Do you know that? Midwest is called the backbone of United States. From Pittsburgh with the steel industry. Then to Cleveland with the tour industry. Then to Detroit with automobile industry. Then with Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, farmer industry. This Midwest support, stand, make U.S. strong. Yet nobody loves them because they're in distress, are in debt. One day I'm in their plan. A man talked with me a little. We were quite happy to each other. Then he says, hey, sir, where are you from? I say, Cleveland. I can see that even his face changes. Are you joking? Because how can Cleveland have a man like you? Cleveland's people supposed to be low IQ. Your IQ is pretty good. So he said, are you joking? I said, not joking. I was in Cleveland since 1970. No. Since 1964. I was in Cleveland since 1964. That is a few years ago. I was there close to 40 years. Don't you like it?
Amen.
That's why America has hope. I hope you understand what I say. Brother, people like to despise you. Who are you? You are not in the flow. You are this or that. Brother, you have to answer. Oh, I'm one that the distress, I'm one was in death, I'm one was discounted. But let me tell you, we brothers all together are under the training of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We will become the mighty man for his kingdom.
Amen.
And even in this distress, you know, he was so bothered. So he went to Adullam, right? No, there's hopeless now. There's no place he can go. So he wrote a psalm. I like that psalm. Can we turn to Psalm what? 34. Am I right? Psalm 34. Can we turn to Psalm 34, huh? Now, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, Achish, right? Then who drove him away and he departed. This is King James notes. Chinese translation notes was he wrote this in the cave of Adullam. In other words, after he was chased away, he was in the cave. He began to say something. I tell you, I can't believe it. He said, listen, read the Bible carefully. I will mourn for my life all the time.
What verse?
I will mourn for my life all the time. I have no place to go and end up in the cave. I have no idea what my life will be, and all the women David killed 10,000 put me here. And I regret. I become the son of Saul. I regret. I become the captain of 1,000. I regret that I play the harps. I regret I was so wise. I don't know how to hide myself. I regret of everything. God, take me now. What a good poem. What a good song. Isn't that a good song? Isn't that a good song? We should write it down, transcribe it, and everybody should memorize it because it's really good. It's realistic. You know, it's interesting. David said, I will bless the Lord all the time.
Amen.
I like to ask him, David, be fair. You're hopeless. Not only you're hopeless, your family is hopeless. Not only your family is hopeless, look at all those people who come to you, hopeless. Do you get my point? What are you talking about? I tell you all, the Lord's recovery going on very fine in 1970. 60, 60 and 70, early 70, was outstanding until one day, one brother came in. That brother later told me two things shocked me. Number one, he said, brother, I told Brother Lee. He said by Brother Lee in the meeting. He said, I told Brother Lee. When that young brother stood up, I said, Brother Lee, look, he's a mental case. When the brother stood up, I told Brother Lee, look, he's depressed. Oh, brother, at that time, my heart, my spirit, so sorrowful. I know we will begin our troubles. Brother, when the mental case, I don't mean real mental case. You know what I mean? When people are peculiar, calm, you should realize this is a church. The church doesn't select Harvard graduates. You know, the church in Cleveland never once go to Harvard and recruit. All you graduate, move to Cleveland for the church life. If you do recruit, not one would come and they kick you out. Because it doesn't match. Do you get my point? The second thing is that I will indoctrinate people. I will do everything to change their concept. After that is done, I better not say too much because the word is too devout. In other words, their purity is damaged. After that is done, I look at him, I just had a feeling, is this a devil speaking or speaking of the servant of the Lord? I'm always happy, brother, when people say, where are you from? Cleveland. They say, oh, that's a city for jokes. I say, that's right. I'm for you to be joked about also. Please mock at me. I'm zero, but I love Jesus.
Amen.
I'm for his kingdom.
Amen.
I'm for his testimony. I don't care how you talk about me. I care for. I'm before the Lord. Amen. So David here says, oh, I'm in the cave. I don't know where he found the pen and pencil, pen and paper, because it's a cave. But anyway, he did get something so he can write. He said, oh, bless the Lord all the time. Amen. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Amen.
Brother, do you want that or not? I lost my job. I couldn't go any place. I have no more bank account. I don't know what to do. Now I'm in the church life. I will praise the Lord. Yeah. Don't we have such a song? I'll praise God unceasingly because he lives in me. I'll praise God unceasingly. I will always praise him. Then he said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. I'm boasting. I have such a Lord. Brother, by no ways he should boast now. He should boast when he was, for the day he married Michael. I think that day he married. He go to walk around. I really can boast now. Listen, I'm only a little bit over 20. I chase out demons. I killed Goliath. A woman all endorsed me. And I, right? All the women, right? Kaka endorsed him. And I'm a captain of 1,000. And under me, those who are 40, 50, 60, they all have to, I say, hey, come. They'll say, hey. Right? They have to do it. Brother, I think at that time, he would say, I'll boast, my Lord. What a right decision I made to follow him.
Amen.
No, it's not that day. That day, he didn't praise a bit. He's too busy. Too busy to make his, what is the word I used? Manifestation. Too busy for manifestation. But there's nothing wrong about it. Brother, be very busy with your manifestation. And let the Lord gradually do something about it. Let me tell you, you have never been manifest. You even have leave Lord no opportunity to do anything to strip you, to work with you. You understand what I say? I tell you. He said, now I'm in the cave. When I look around, no furniture. When I look around, no electricity. When I look around, even I find I'm very happy. I find a few sheets of paper. Not paper. The lamb skin, you know. So I can write the Psalms. Hallelujah. And he even prayed, Lord, don't let me make any mistake because there's too few of them. I made a mistake. No more. Nothing more is coming. So he said, oh, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad.
Amen.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
Amen.
Does he still have a face to say that? I don't like it. Do you like it? Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I'll tell him, David, you are in shame. When you are a captain, riding a big white horse with 1,000 men follow you, I said, hey, magnify the Lord with me because I have a horse to represent the Lord. Now, what do you have? He said, here's one. That's a Simon Mandel case. How about that one? That one do not know how to handle his money. How about that one? That one's not happy at all, even in the church life. Discontented. Discontented means that person is discontented person. Nothing will make him happy. Even Elder Neil Dunn, they won't be happy. To him, they won't be happy. Yet here he says something, magnify the Lord with me.
Amen.
Could you believe in this? I tell you, I have to say, thank you, Lord. You have gained one who has so much confidence in you rather than anything else.
Amen.
Right? He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt the name together. So I saw the Lord, and he heard me, delivered me from all my fears. Not my enemies. What is our prayer? Lord, deliver me from my enemies. Lord said, no, I'll give you a few more. But deliver me from my fears. Do you understand what I say, sister? Here's somebody trying to beat you up. You're afraid, right? Say, Lord, deliver me from that guy. Three more comes. They're already, you are even more afraid. But then you say, Lord, deliver me from my fears. Then you look at these enemies. Who are you? Why should I be afraid of you? I am a son of God.
Amen.
Do you get my point or not? I am a child. I'm the one who's one with God in his economy. Then there's nothing to be feared. So deliver me from my fears. Well, we're not covering this psalm, so let's go to verse 8. Can we read it together? Real, with a strong spirit. Verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts. Okay, you got a different version. You got a recovery version, but let me just read King James Version to you. Then you read me back. One of you read me back the recovery version. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Amen. So what is your version?
Taste and see that Jehovah is good.
Amen.
Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
Amen.
Well, that's very good. Do you know that song? That the Lord is good. Just taste and see that the Lord is good. He's good for you and he's for me. So what do you do? Just taste and see. Isn't that good? Okay. Hey, let's say hi. Just call, oh Lord, he will change your life. Amazing. So what you do, just let go. Another verse.
Come into your heart, you'll feel your right. Come into your heart, you'll sense a flow from God above, and you will feel. For Christ in you, amen. Praise the Lord. For Christ in you, he has a part into your life. For Christ the Lord.
Don't you like it?
Amen.
Don't you like it?
Amen.
Who wrote this song? Yeah, your uncle wrote it. It's from Midwest. Do you realize? Do you realize this is one of the person in debt, discontented, and what with a mental case or whatever that is what distress, in distress, brother. Do you even when you sing that song, do you taste something so simple,
Amen.
Nothing complicated? Amen. Boldly declare, we are the backbone of Lord's recovery. Hallelujah! Isn't that good? There's more song like this, right? Is there another song like this? Just and taste and see. You have the most simple one. Taste and see the Lord is good. Hallelujah. 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 We have taste and now we see. We have taste and now we see. Hallelujah. We have taste and now we see. Hallelujah. Brother, don't you like it?
Amen.
Don't you like it?
Amen.
Could you believe if you were David, finally end up in that little cave, Adullam, right? There must be a number of caves. That could be an area. He got one of the cave. He looked at it. Stone ceiling, stone wall, stone ground. It's a cave, right? And he looked at it. He says, oh, what a life. What a life. I regret it. When I was shepherd, I have a sky as my ceiling. Now I have the stone as my ceiling. Do you get my point? Why this stupid saw has given me off like this? Why Jehovah so unfair? Put me into all these trials. No, brother, not at all. He says, oh, I will bless the Lord all the time. The priest shall continue be in my mouth. Then he says, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
Then he eventually, out of all these experiences, he testified, nothing works, only the Lord.
Amen.
I know how good is the Lord.
Amen.
I know not someone who anointed me. I know not someone who is a great teacher. I know not someone who gave me good doctrines. I know not someone who can supply me or protect me. I know not someone who can help me. No, eventually only Christ is my salvation.
Amen.
So he declared, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that take refuge or trust in him.
Amen.
I am that person. Now my rest is in him alone. Then, then verse 18, he said, maybe verse 17, the righteous cry and the Lord hears. Deliver them out of all their troubles. This is a little bit religious. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Now, do you understand what is a broken heart? I don't think when he was manifest, there's nothing. There can nothing be called broken heart. Tonight, when Asher, right? See his name Asher, gave that little testimony. Don't you realize there's a little broken heart, being through some process for the Lord. Eventually, you talk to him, who he testified, you realize here is a person go through some process by following the Lord alone.
Amen.
You know, brother, so eventually he said, yes, I praise you. Yes, right? I bless you. Yes, I taste. I know you are so good. At the same time, Lord, do you know my heart is broken? They don't conflict. Do you get my point there? My spirit is so joyful, my soul suffers. So he said, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such to be of a contrite spirit. I don't think this is right. What does contrite mean? Huh? The recovery version says crushed spirit.
No, it says the same.
Contrite. Contrite means what?
Means
in deep sorrow. Right? I don't like it. Do you like it? I think we better change the Bible. The Bible many times make mistakes. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. I agree. And save such away from all their enemies. That is right. I found the answer. Am I right or not? Because, I mean, listen. Saul was after him. Too much. Just a little bit too much. How can he do things like this? Give a little bit fair, right? I tell you what's surprising. He doesn't blame Saul. Let me find that. Maybe my eyesight is getting old. Let me read it again. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such who are chased after Saul and would revenge Saul. That makes sense. Saul is going to die tomorrow. That even may make more sense. Saul should be dying now. That makes more sense. No. He said, do you know? I have so much repentance for myself. I do have a contrite spirit.
Amen.
Do you get my point or not? Now I believe all the manifestation, what he has not learned through that process, now begin to show him. Begin to show him something. Now he began to realize, Lord, I have so much to learn. I'm a proud man. I'm a self-sufficient man. I'm self-satisfying mind. I have a way to gain what I want. I'm a powerful man. Lord, I repent for all these because I know the only way I can survive is to live on you.
Amen.
Is it true or not?
Amen.
So he said, eventually he said, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. That's true. And save such, that's him, as be of a spirit of deep repentance. I really regret it. I consider my life. Then, Lord, yet there's no time for me to regret. You saved me. To follow you as fresh today. You know what I mean? I may find so much wrong with me, but I have no time to consider that. I am ready because you saved the contrite spirit.
Amen.
Oh, I like it. Do you like it or not? So eventually he said, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants. You redeem me. Do you like it or not?
Amen.
I like Adullam. Sometimes I wish David would stay there all the time. But he's the anointed. So the next commitment is coming. Well, we go very slow. But you begin to understand more, right?
Amen.
Now you understand why it goes through all this. Now, smiting the Philistines to save Keilah. Is that the way to pronounce Keilah? How does pronounce that word?
Keilah.
To save Keilah, fortress, by asking of Jehovah. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go? Oh, no, no, no. You should pay attention to this. There were those in distress, in death, in discontent, and so forth. 400 men gathered themselves to David to become their captain. Do you realize in David's life, he does not recruit. Yet, principle of operation is recruiting. You know what I mean? You always try to recruit, to gain people, so that people can follow you or stand with you. No, he's different with Saul. Saul here in 1 Samuel 14 here says, and when Saul saw any strong man, he would look at you, wow, Harvard graduate, I'll get you. Wow, a talented architect, I'll get you. So when he saw any strong man or any villain man, villain, what does villain mean?
Valiant.
What does valiant mean?
Brave.
Yeah, means able to fight, mighty man. Any strong man, any mighty man, he took him. Unto him, three hymns. You get my point or not? I say, hope with this man. Come on, join my army. I promise you. Brother, I first heard this in 1977 in the Lord's Recovery. I believe that's the seeds of our failure. There's a lot of recruiting going on. And we were simple. You know, in the Midwest, we only know where the backbones. In other words, you are covered inside. You have no idea what are you doing. You just know how to make the body stand up. That's it. You know, brother, there's a lot of recruiting going on. I have no idea what is what. Until they come to Chicago, try to destroy the church in Chicago. I was there, 1977. I forgot, it's a Memorial Weekend or whatever. I was there. I saw it. And I realized they began to recruit me. You know, the brother said to me like this, brother, we're not exclusive, we're inclusive. All what you have to do is to join us. Brother, joining us means a party. Anyone marks himself somebody special is a party principle. Do you get me? It doesn't matter who. As long as a few people make themselves special, that become a party. Yeah, then they went to, right from Chicago, they're going to destroy Atlanta. They're going to get Atlanta. They say, are you going? I say, let me think about it. The brother was interested, he says, huh, you want to join us, right? Do you get my point or not? So pretty soon, this brother is out of favor. Favor means Brother Lee doesn't like him. Because he got exposed. So one day he says, Titus, do you want to have, after meeting, you want to have some coffee with me? I say, oh, yeah, sure. We're open to fellowship, right? So he took me to, what is that? That's called what place? I forgot now. Yeah, Marine Calendar. Marine Calendar. He took me to Marine Calendar. Because all the so-called spiritual sisters, spiritual men, after meeting, after they come out of Ball Road, and how they all go to Marine Calendar. It's a place supposed to be for those honored in whatever camp. And it's interesting. Oh, he said he got in. Right, he got in. He said by me, there's a counter inside. Then there's, you know, inside there's desks. But we usually just walk in, go to the end corner so nobody sees us. We can fellowship. It's not a fellowship. Just sit here. So sit here is okay. I say, brother, it's not so good a fellowship. This is fine. This is fine. You know why? Because he realized I'm an interesting person. Whosoever lost their favor, they come to me for help. Whosoever win the favor, they try to beat me down. He lost his favor. So he want to use me as his support. Do you get it or not? So he sit right by the counter. We both have a cup of coffee or whatever, pie or something. He fellowships. So I talk with him. I was rather stupid. I think about it. Even today, I think I'm rather stupid because I'm just not that complicated. Then he says, I said, brother, what? And then I look back, all the generals, the ladies, the high people are all walking to have pie, and everybody have to see that I accompany him or he is with me. In other words, he's declaring to everybody, Titus is on my side. Do you know that? Brother, the recruiting is ugly. I say that, ugly. Sometimes there's a conference, and they make so many phone calls, I hate it. No care for the church. No care for the oneness of the church. No care for the local testimony. Just recruiting and recruiting and recruiting. Do you get my point or not? Brother, if you want fellowship, fellowship with honesty, go to the elders or go to the leaders of that work. Don't go to the saints one by one, recruit them to destroy the local churches, to establish your work that is ugly to the uttermost. Yet become our culture. Recruiting. Brother, I've been with you, brother, that many years. You are under me. Have I ever told you call a brother in a certain place? Never. I always say that. Inform the church. Contact the leader. Encourage them to come. But I never said it. Go get brother so-and-so. If you get brother so-and-so, if we can recruit him, then he go back. He will be a problem to the elders. We will have a brother. This is ugly. This is so. Any work of religion, do recruiting. Just as this verse says. Any work of religion. I will go to a place. I will get somebody so that brother. Yet David never did it. David is very simple. I'm hopeless. I'm coming to a hopeless cave. Do you get my point? But I'm so comforted. I know my Lord. At this time, of course, anyone who has any way will not care for him. But everyone that is distressed, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was discontented, all right, gather themselves unto him, and he become a captain. This is about 400 of them. Do you understand what I'm talking about? No, he was there. I think every day he was getting this 400, right? Every day he was getting this 400 and the child teach them how to fight, teach them how to be armor, how to be a warrior, teach them all this. Then the news come that Kilesh was invaded by Philistines, isn't it? So David inquired of the Lord. He's still the anointed. He still remember this is his country, right? Saying, shall I go and smite those Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Caleb. I like it. When he run away, Lord is there. When he's preparing, Lord is there. Do you get my point or not? Now when he's ready for another step, the Lord is also there. So number one, he's saving the inhabitant of Caleb, right? And so David and his men went to Caleb. Now, these guys now, those 400, they're interesting people. I don't know how long they've been with him in the cave there, but it won't be very long because the total process, including go to Samuel, is less than 10 years. Maybe it's only 7-8 years. So there could be just a short time. But for some reason, a young man go to him. After a short time, the young man able to fight. David's really a good trainer. He know how to perfect people. So David and the man went to Keilah and fought for Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. And David saved the inhabitant of Keilah. Praise the Lord for that. Don't you like it? Now I think David is stronger now because he got some armory. Formerly, I think when they were exercising, they were using wooden stuff to practice. They're nothing. Now they have a lot of captives, a lot captured, a lot of things from Philistines. Number two, then just as when he was in the city, a priest came. You know, what a blessing. Now you only have a king. You also have a priest now. Do you get my point? So gaining Abiezer, how do you pronounce this? Abiezer? Huh? Abiezer. Okay, gaining Abiezer, the son of what? The priest. Remember he was the one gave him the five loaf, right? And with an ephod, in other words, he even brought over the priestly garment with sermon. With sermon, you know what I mean? With the breastplate, you can read. Huh? So with ephod in his hand, whose father's whole house, as well as a city of priests, high priest, was slaughtered by Saul. Could you believe in this? This is no longer that Saul we know. Who we first studied him, how nice he is. The only thing is, he doesn't have the Lord. He's very nice, yet without the Lord. So nice with the Lord. Eventually, look how he become. This is why Watchman Nee said, and Brother Lee told me the same thing. Actually, Brother even said personally, I was betrayed by brothers, and God has honored me in the foreign country. Remember that? Who's experienced that? Joseph. Yeah? Is that Joseph? Yes. Joseph. Joseph was betrayed by his brother. Then God honored him in Egypt. Eventually become the salvation to all the Israelites. You know, brother, Watchman Nee said, oh, when the brothers fight, everyone quite stretch out their feast, everyone's harsh. Brother, Watchman Nee only experienced a feast. You know, these not the people, that's a city of priests. They experience the knife. I don't understand what happened to Saul. Just because they gave him five loaves of bread, he killed the whole city. Now, if I read the verses, can you read it? Nathan, can you read it? Just a portion is good. Typed in. Stand up. And the king.
And the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod.
He's a 85. That means what? 85 priests he killed that day. Could you believe in this? Here's a king anointed by God. How come he becomes so evil? Yet he was so nice. Do you get my point? Then continue.
And Nob, the city of priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and suckling, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword, when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand.
Only one left. Only one escaped. When you read this part, he killed not only the priests, but also men and the women. Well, I hope he can stop there. He didn't. And children, I hope they can stop there. Even sucklings. Could you believe in that? And okay, not only men, even oxen, even asses, sheep, everything he killed. Brother, I tell you, hatred in religion is much deeper than hatred in politics. In politics, they are hate one another, they know how to shake hands. In religion, they only want to kill you. Be careful in your life. become a Jesus lover and don't become a person in religion. Look how much hatred now is we saw. Then what? Then the third thing was very interesting. They're running away from Caleb through the word of Jehovah. The Lord told him again, get out of here and abide in the wilderness again. So, you know, finally he thought, I saved this city, right? Since I saved this city, I finally got a place to settle down. Right? And if a priest come to him, that is a clear sign how the Lord was with him. Even at that moment, Saul came. And God told him, very simple, don't trust the people you serve. You save them, they're going to betray you. Did you realize what is man? So eventually, he ran away from Caleb through the word of Jehovah, abiding in the wilderness. And Saul came down, and the servants have heard, O Lord, God of Israel. I see. Then there should be darts in between now. I beseech you, tell the servant, and the Lord said, he will come down. That is a prayer. In the middle, there should be darts. They're not together. Then said David, will the man of Caleb deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord says, they will deliver you up. So David abode in the wilderness, in stronghold. He escaped again. They're not good days. Do you want to love Jesus? Amen. Do you want to love Jesus, young sister? Remember, it's hard for you to have good days. But remember, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
So eventually, all the work of the Lord is only for one reason, that he can only lay hold on Christ alone.
Amen.
So no complaint, no murmuring. You know what I mean? He has no enemy to David. Even so, till the end was not his enemy. All what he said is, I know everything happened that I can gain Christ.
Amen.
Amen. There's a song written by a brother who left us. We have seen Christ as reality. Can we sing that song? Do you know how to play that one? We have seen Christ as reality, but not sufficient just to see. He in all the things must be everything to us.
Amen.
Okay, let's enjoy that song and then close the meeting.